Again, thankful for the presence of each and every one. Thankful again for the visitors that are among us. We are certainly delighted that you've chosen to come our way. We're encouraged by your presence, and we hope that you too will be encouraged and that you'll return during each and every opportunity that you may have. I again am thankful for an opportunity to stand before you once more this day to proclaim another message from God's Word. I appreciate that good prayer that Craig led us in a few moments ago. Appreciate the song that David led us in as we raised our voice in praise to our Almighty God. Appreciate the good reading of the scripture that Alvin gave for us there from John chapter 20. And like to encourage everyone to keep their Bibles open there to John chapter 20. We're going to begin there in just a moment. But before we begin this afternoon, I want to begin by proposing a question to you. Have you ever thought about or considered why there are certain things that we read about that are written in the Bible? You ever thought about that before? Have you ever wondered why the things that we read in the Bible were written? I venture to say that there are probably some of us that at some point in time have probably thought about that. We probably thought about at some point in time as we're reading our Bibles, why was that written? What purpose is that for? And you know, there are a number of reasons for why there are specific things that are written in the Bible. And there are actually numerous places in the New Testament where the inspired writers gave their reason for writing what they did. And that's what I want to take a little bit of time to talk to us about this afternoon. I want us to take some time this afternoon to examine some reasons for why some of the things that we read about in the Bible were written. And let's begin there in John chapter 20. There in John chapter 20, where Alvin just read for us a moment ago, as John's about to bring his gospel account to a close, he tells us a reason for why he wrote what he wrote. There in John chapter 20, beginning in verse number 30. And there John writes, "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written." Why, John? Well, notice. "That you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." As good Bible students, we're familiar of John recording some of the miracles that Jesus did as he was on earth. And John, he didn't record every miracle that Jesus did he? He didn't record every miracle. He just recorded a few of those miracles that Jesus did. And fast forwarding there to John chapter 21 and verse number 25, John made it very clear that there were also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, he says, "I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." Think about that. But why did John say that he wrote about some of these signs that Jesus did in the presence of his disciples? What was his reasoning for writing about those things? Well, he tells us there in verse 31 when he says, "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." Think about that. Here we have an example of these things being written that we may believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Again, the signs that were performed by Jesus that were written about to produce faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have eternal life. But we also learn there in Romans chapter 15 and in verse number 4, another reason for why some of the things we read about in the Bible were written. And we learn there in Romans 15 and verse 4, where Paul penned, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." Now it's important to note that when Paul talks about the things that were written before, he's talking about the Old Testament Scriptures. That's what he's talking about. And it's important that we understand that the examples and admonitions that are recorded for us in the Old Testament Scriptures, They were not just written for the people who lived in those days, but rather they are also for us. We learn about that here in Romans 15 verse 4. We learn that those things that were written before, how they're written for our learning. For our learning, so that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. I want you to think about that for a moment. I want you to think about the fact that even the things that were written in the Old Testament, how they were written and how they're preserved for our benefit today. You see, the things that are written throughout the Old Testament Scriptures, they're written not only for our learning, but also that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now you may be thinking, well, how can that be? Well, think about this. You see, God has always blessed the faithful, and He has always rendered punishment to the unfaithful, the disobedient. We have example after example after example of that in the Old Testament Scripture, don't we? We have example after example of God blessing the faithful, rewarding the faithful, and rendering punishment to the unfaithful, to the disobedient. And it is because of that that we can learn from those Old Testament examples. It's because of that that we can have patience and comfort of the Scriptures, that we might have hope. But I also suggest to us this evening another reason for why some of the things that we read about in the Bible were written. And that is simply because they were written to warn and admonish us. Did you know that? Did you know that there are many things that were written in the Bible simply to warn and admonish us? You see, there are many things that are written in the Bible to give warning and to give us warning and admonition. And simply put, when you think about those things that are written in the Bible for our warning and admonition, they're written there for our benefit. They're written there for our benefit. Notice this with me there in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 14. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and in verse number 14, the Apostle Paul says, "I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you." Think about that. As the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Corinth in the first century, he's telling them, "Hey, I'm not writing these things that I'm writing to shame you, but I'm writing these things that I'm writing to give you warning, to warn you." And when you think about that, and you think about what Paul said there, you think of the Apostle Paul like a father to his beloved children who is wanting what's best for them. And that's exactly why Paul says, "I'm writing these things not to shame you, but to warn you, because I want what's best for you." You see, we need to understand that sometimes when we're reading the things that are written in the Scriptures, they're written to give us warning. They're written so that we may understand what is best for us, so that we may understand what God expects and wants for us. And that's exactly why there are many things written in the Bible for our warning and admonition. Fast forwarding there to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 11. Again, as good Bible students, in the context there, the Apostle Paul is laying out some of those Old Testament examples. And I want us to notice what Paul said there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11 about those things. He says, "Now all these things happened to them." That's talking about God's people of old. "As examples. And they were written," why? "For our admonition." Think about that. Think about that. Again, we need to take earnest heed to the warnings and admonitions that we find written in the Bible. We need to take heed to those warnings and admonitions that we find written in the Bible, knowing that they are there for our benefit, knowing that if we disobey them, if we fail to take heed to them, that we will someday pay the consequences of our actions by being eternally punished. We don't want that, do we? We don't want that. Therefore, be mindful that these things were written to warn and admonish us. But I also suggest to us this afternoon, when you think about why these things were written, that these things were written to call important things to our remembrance. We learn about that there in 2 Peter chapter 3. Follow me, if you will, in your Bibles there to 2 Peter chapter 3. And here in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 beginning, notice these words of Peter. He says, "Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior." Simply put, Peter is saying here that I'm writing these things to stir you up by way of reminder. You see, there are some important things that are written in the pages of God's Word that we need to be consistently reminded of. And here is an instance where Peter's saying, I'm writing these things to stir up your pure minds by way of reminder. Again, Peter is writing the things that we read here to stir up our remembrance of the things we need to know. And did you know? He goes on to tell us something very important there in 2 Peter chapter 3 that we need to know. What is that? What is that? The fact that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is coming again. We learn about that there in 2 Peter chapter 3 verses 9 and 10. The fact that our Lord and Savior, He's not slack concerning His promise. The fact that in verse 10 that the day of the Lord is going to come how? As a thief in the night. We need to be reminded of that. We need to know that. And we need to know, as Peter goes on to tell us, as we go on to see there in verse number 11 and 12 about how we need to conduct ourselves in holy conduct and godliness. Those are things that we need to consistently be reminded of. We need to have our minds stirred up by way of reminder of how we need to conduct ourselves as children of God. We need to have our minds stirred up by way of reminder of the fact that there's a great day coming. A great day coming when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is going to return again. We need to be prepared for that great day, don't we? We need to know these things. And it's important that we recognize that people need to be reminded about the truth just as much as they need to learn it. You ever think about that? We understand the importance of learning the truth, but we also need to understand the need to be reminded about the truth and how it is just as important that we have our minds stirred up by way of reminder about the truth as it is to learn the truth. But I also suggest to us this afternoon in regard to why these things were written. And that is, they were written to produce joy. John informs us of this there in 1 John chapter 1. Go with me, if you will, in your Bibles there to 1 John chapter 1. And let's just begin reading here in verse number 1. Here it is recorded, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. By the way, who is that? Who is he talking about? Jesus the Christ. Verse 3. He says, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now watch verse 4. Because John says, and these things we write to you. Why, John? That your joy may be full. You see that? Think about that. John declares that these things were written so that our joy may be full. And how is our joy going to be full? How is that going to be possible? By believing in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. By having fellowship with the Father and the Son. And when we believe and obey God, we're going to have fellowship with God the Father and God the Son. We need to be mindful of that. And to be simply put, John's telling us here in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 4 that the message through this written testimony that he gives, when believed and obeyed, will result in full joy to all who believe and obey it. But John also tells us, there, fast forwarding down there to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, that these things were written, he says, that we may not sin. There in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, John writes, my little children, these things I write to you, so that you may not sin. Stop right there. Now it's important to note that John here, that he's not contradicting himself. He's not contradicting what he just affirmed a moment ago, as we see there in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8, when he says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. He's not contradicting that. He's not contradicting what he says there in verse 10, when he says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. That's not what John's doing here. It's important we understand that. John's not contradicting what he had just affirmed there in 1 John 1, verses 8 and 10. But what his point is his point is one's desire should be not to sin. That's John's point. His point is we should not desire to sin. And he's encouraging children of God here not to sin, nor to let sin reign in their life. That's why he's saying, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. He's encouraging us not to sin. Not to let sin reign in our lives. You see, John understands that sin is dangerous. He understands the need to beware of the dangers of sin and to always seek to avoid it. And that's what he's encouraging children of God to do here. He's encouraging us to do that. However, in view of the reality that no one is sinless. Again, John made that very clear, didn't he? There in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and verse 10. In view of that fact. In view of the fact that no one is sinless. In view of the fact that there are going to be times when we do sin and fall short of God's glory. John then gives comfort in declaring the fact that forgiveness is through Jesus Christ. Notice the rest of verse 1 with me, along with verse 2 there in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. After John declares, I write to you so that you may not sin, he goes on to say, and if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father. Who is that? Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself, that being Jesus the Christ, John says, is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. I don't know about you, but that gives me comfort. That gives me comfort. Knowing that when I do sin and fall short of God's glory, that I have an advocate with my Father in heaven, Jesus Christ the righteous. Knowing that he is the propitiation for our sins. Simply put, he died for our sins. We learn about that in 1 Corinthians 15 and in verse number 3. And as John informs here in 1 John chapter 2, he is our advocate with our Father in heaven. But one more to share with you this afternoon in regard to why these things were written. And that simply is, these things were written, as John informs us there in 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 13, to give us assurance of eternal life. Notice what John says there in 1 John chapter 5 and in verse number 13. He said, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." Let those words of John sink in for a moment. You see, the general purpose for which John has written this epistle here in 1 John is summed up right here in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. The general purpose of him writing this epistle is summed up right here in verse 13 when he says, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." You see, simply put, John wrote these things to remove any doubt from a faithful Christian's mind and to ensure faithful believers that they can know that they have eternal life. Again, a faithful child of God does not need to speculate or imagine whether or not they will have eternal life. But rather, a faithful child of God can be assured of the fact that they have eternal life. A faithful child of God can know without a doubt that they have eternal life. Think about that. Again, I don't know about you, but that gives me comfort. That gives me comfort of knowing that eternal life, it's not wishful thinking. It's not something that I'm wishing and speculating that will happen. But rather, eternal life, it's for real. It's for real. And as a faithful child of God, we can have the assurance of it. And that's what John is saying here in 1 John chapter 5 and in verse number 13. He's letting us know that if we are faithful and obedient, we can know that we have eternal life. Hopefully we all have profited from this short study, and hopefully we all will understand that the things that we have written in the Bible, they were written for a reason. They were written for a reason. And may we be reminded of those various reasons for why these things were written that we read about in the Bible. Maybe there's one here this afternoon who desires to have eternal life. You someday desire a home in heaven, but you have not yet submitted yourself in obedience to the Lord and His will. You have an opportunity to do that this very hour, for you have heard the Word of God. And if you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, you can make a change in your life. You can repent of your sins. You can turn from sin and turn to God. You can confess Jesus Christ, and you can be baptized into Jesus Christ this very hour for the remission of your sins. Remembering what Jesus said there in Mark 16, 16, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." And then, as we always make a point, the need to continue to keep on keeping on, the need to remain steadfast and movable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, 1 Corinthians 15, 58, the need to remain faithful unto death. For as Jesus promised in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Maybe there's one here this afternoon who's already submitted themselves in obedience to the Lord and His will, but maybe you haven't been faithful. Maybe you've strayed from that straight and narrow path that leads to life. We plead with you to get your heart right with God this very hour. Make a change in your life. Repent of your sins. Confess them to God. Ask Him for His forgiveness. Get back on that straight and narrow path that leads to life this very hour while you still have that opportunity to do so. Remembering, as we made mention of in our Bible class on Friday afternoon, the fact that heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. And we need to be prepared to meet our God. So, if we can assist anyone in any way, whatever your need may be, won't you let that need be made known now while we stand and sing the song David selected.